covering the story of the day with the guys who broke the news and complete analysis from both sides all morning long here on WDLS. The White House is not denying that Donald Trump gave Russia classified information. Not really. I'm going to talk to the man who wrote the piece for the Washington Post in a second. The president up early today and tweeting out this. As president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety, humanitarian reasons. Plus, I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. So if you buy the president in entirety, then you think this is another attack on Donald Trump, a politically motivated attack. Others may say it's just another example of amateur hour at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Let's start with Aaron Blake from the Washington Post, who wrote a piece following up on his colleagues breaking this story at 4:30 our time yesterday. Aaron, good morning. First off, the White House, when McMaster came out yesterday with his statement, they did not really deny, if you read it and take it literally, the fact that the president may have passed on what they call some code word information to the Russians. Can you elaborate, sir, and good morning.
Good morning to you. The denials from the White House were at best incomplete and I would argue rather confirmed basically the thrust of the story. H.R. McMaster said that the story as reported is false, but then he pointed to some things that weren't actually in the story in an attempt to downplay the report. He said that there were no methods or sources that were discussed, no intelligence methods or sources were discussed with the Russians. The story didn't actually say that. The story said that Trump talked about a specific ISIS plot, and he talked about the city in which it had been detected by a source that had been working with the U.S. government on a very highly classified basis. And so the fear there is that this information could essentially tip off the Russians to know who the source was or what the methods were, and that's really what's troubling here. So it's not that Trump totally gave away the ball game and said this is exactly what's happening here. It's that the information that he gave could lead to that piece of information being known to the Russians. And so the denials weren't complete. They sounded like they wanted to deny it, but they weren't actually denying the substance of the report.
But we all agree that the president can declassify anything at any time, so there's no illegality here with Donald Trump. We're talking here with Aaron Blake from the Washington Post. I asked your colleague, Greg Jeffy, the same thing about an hour ago. What kind of process, as a veteran of the Washington Post, do you go through with corroborating your sources, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, taking it to your editors and the higher-ups at the paper before you break this kind of story, which is going to cause a lot of consternation on both sides?
Yeah, this is a story that is very sensitive, obviously. You're dealing with classified material. You're also dealing with national security. Anytime you're reporting on any details having to do with that, newspapers like the Washington Post will make sure that the information they're revealing is not going to compromise national security. So that's why there was no naming of the city involved. There was no naming of the source of the intelligence. That information is still unknown, so we don't really know a whole lot of details about what exactly Trump and the Russians were talking about. What we do know for the officials in the room, former officials who have talked about this, is that this is information that could lead to some pretty rather easily drawn conclusions about what precisely the president was talking about here. And so I can assure you there was a huge amount of care that went into this piece. We knew it was going to be a big story. Our national security reporters here, including Greg Jaffe, who you spoke to this morning, are the best in the business. And really, I know from just having seen behind the scenes a little bit, the amount of time that went into this, the amount of back and forth that happened, this was something that great care was taken to make sure we got it down and nailed it.
Because to make a mistake, when you shoot these, well, let me use a different descriptor. When you write a story that's going to be this incendiary, mistakes could cost people their jobs and paper the readers, and even worse in some cases.
Yeah, it's the White House, the coverage of the White House has certainly been skeptical. There have been a lot of controversies that have been covered. There is about 35-40% of the country who dismisses much of what we're reporting right now as fake news or not giving the White House the benefit of the doubt. And so that just increases the onus upon us to make sure we nail down everything, because any inaccuracy is going to call the whole thing into question. And so we know that, and all we can do is do the best job we can and leave it to people to understand and process the information that we're reporting. I would say that the non-denial from McMaster yesterday and then the president's tweets this morning in which he talks about presidential privilege, there's no reason for him to talk about presidential privilege unless he actually discussed classified information. So that was very much a tacit confirmation that that was the kind of information that was discussed in this meeting. And so I think we're all taking that as a confirmation of what has been reported.
So as you mentioned, you know, 30-40% of America will dismiss this as just more, you know, a deep state attack on Donald Trump. That being said, I've seen dozens of these things come and go since Donald Trump came down the escalator. Do you think this story has legs, or do you think it'll be usurped by something else tomorrow?
Well, here's what I think. Here's why I think this is particularly troubling for him. I think that there are two main concerns with Trump that voters had during the election and since then. One of them was the temperament issue. If you look at polls, up to 2/3 of Americans doubted that he had the right temperament to be president. They thought there was a Washington Post poll last month that showed 63% thought he was too impulsive. And this really plays into that. It's a president apparently talking kind of flippantly about national security matters, classified information, with an adversarial foreign power who has very different goals, especially when it comes to the Syria conflict. The other thing is that there are very real concerns about his relationship with Russia. There was a Quinnipiac poll last month that showed 70% of people were at least somewhat concerned about that relationship, including 4 in 10 Republicans. So to the extent that he looks like he's cozying up to Russia again, being loose-lipped with Russia, sharing too much information, I think that hurts him and reinforces some of the more negative views of the president and how he's doing in the Oval Office.
It certainly is interesting, if not fatiguing, to watch each and every day. Aaron, thank you for your time. Much appreciated, sir. We'll let you get on with your busy day.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. That's Aaron Blake from The Washington Post, one of the guys developing and following up on this story.